Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Monday, August 25th. Today's session is entitled, Would the Real Spiritual Director Please Stand Up? Presented by Al Roll, number ROA 2003-01. Let's listen in.
My name is Al Rail. I'm the chaplain at Foss Holden Village in Seattle, and have been doing spiritual direction at the village here for the last three summers, for usually 3 weeks. This year I'm here for 2 weeks, and been doing spiritual direction for about 15 years in the Lutheran Church, and have had a couple of courses or trainings in spiritual direction, and I think it's really been enriching for me, and I always pray that when I come that other people will become more prayerful, if nothing else, but also to maybe seek out groups of people that will talk about their prayer life, or a spiritual friend or spiritual director. My title of this session is, Will the Real Spiritual Director Please Stand Up? And the reason I called it that was because many people are turned off by the idea of anybody directing them. They've had enough directors in their life that they want to throw that term out. If the term bothers you, you can call a spiritual friend, but then that would also actually work. The real spiritual director that stands up is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. God that directs all of us each and every day. And behind on the board, I have the words to a song that I wrote. It says, "You are always in this place." It was Joan Hunt's sermon last night. And I did not know it. Golden steps to heaven's gate. Spirit spirals through it. And that's your chorus to sing with me as we begin this session. And the prayer that all of us will be much more in tune with God being in our daily walk, because it's the thing that we constantly have to deal with, being human beings. So I'll start out singing the chorus, and then you can sing it with me, and I'll sing the verses.
Call us, will you come? constantly. You were always in this place, and I did not know it. Golden steps to heaven's gate, spirit spirals through it. Angels still descending downward, angels still ascending high. We still have your blessing always in the city, mountains, sky. You were always in this place, and I did not know it. Golden steps to heaven's gate, spirit spirals through it. Now as stones of your great altar, may we hear baptismal calls. Work with spirits, help and comfort, Bethel's work of love to all. You were always in this place, and I did not know it. Golden steps to heaven's gate, spirit spirals through.
A song that was written originally for a dedication to a stained glass window in the city of Shoreline, Washington, designed by the same designer that painted the Village Center ceiling. And it had a spiral that ran from the altar on the bottom in the stained glass window all the way up. And one of the requests I had was to write a song about it for their dedication, but it became more a song also for everybody in every time and every place. And I was so surprised that the sermon last night was too about that. And where is the ladder of God coming down in our lives? I thought Joan did a wonderful job of describing what I was going to describe as spiritual direction. What is this thing about spiritual direction? What is it why do we have such a thing as people call to spiritual direction? God is, of course, the director. God is the friend. God is the counselor. The Holy Spirit is the counselor. And when asked about what spiritual direction feels like or looks like, I always think of one spiritual director who told me, it's like you have two people in a vehicle. One of them is driving, one of them is in the front seat with the map. And the spiritual director is not the driver. The person who comes to the spiritual director is the driver. And the spiritual director is listening to the desires of the person driving, where they would like to go, their destination, how fast they want to go, what kind of signs they see along the way. And the person in the front seat listening, the director, will give some feedback about what they're experiencing in their journey. Because the person driving really is in the driver's seat. So most of spiritual direction is listening to those feelings, to those experiences, to those destinations that a person is headed for, to those likes and dislikes of how fast the vehicle goes, or how bumpy the road has been, or where they have been in the past, where they're coming from. That really says it to me. So hopefully that alone, if you think about that, that's really also the kind of a good definition of spiritual direction. And also the one that you sang, you were always in this place, and I did not know it. That's so true of people in Scripture and in people that come to this place And I think that's the reason that spiritual direction was introduced 3 years ago. I was the first one to come to Holden and just first to find a place to do it, and kind of a quiet place, was even a challenge. But now it is part of the summer community, and I'm glad that it is. I'd like to also say what spiritual direction is. Who are those who come to spiritual direction? People who come to spiritual direction are those people that commit in some way to a prayer practice. And in the scripture it says, pray without ceasing. And I've always wondered about that, whether that meant that you had to give up everything, and of course that's impossible. But pray without ceasing is really also what spiritual direction is all about. Pray in all things. In all things, rejoice, give thanks. Life includes everything, and prayer also includes everything. And what I want to do, just to start off with, to get you experiencing this a little bit more, as I was walking down the trail yesterday from Holden Lake, I thought, one familiar, the first command of Jesus is what I told you, pray without ceasing. The second one is pray like this, pray this prayer. And in Holden, they always say, Abba, Ima, in heaven. And I want to say that prayer, and as I say it, I want you to just reflect on each of the petitions in the prayer, and then afterwards, I'm going to have you share with another person here anything that came up, because we usually run through that prayer so quickly that we don't allow for other things to happen, other ways of what we're thinking about in that prayer. So I will say it, and say it very slowly and with pauses, and I want you to pray it with me in that manner. Abba, Ima, in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Take a few minutes with another person that's close to you and share anything that you experienced during that time.
Let's see. Be in threes. The rest.
Or you can be in threes.
I
can listen to somebody.
I think we have a better deal even than expressed and forgive us our sins. My understanding is that we stay in a relationship of faith with God, our sins are forgiven all the time. Or your sins. Amen. I can't judge if mine will be forgiven, but I can. If you stay in a relationship of faith, your sins will be forgiven. I'm not sure that I can say that mine. But I feel that they will be, but that is judgment that I can make myself. And faith is secure. I think that we have a God gives us a great good deal.
That's where we're better than us.
Oh, that's okay. Talking about the Lord's Prayer a little bit. I just read it. I said it, and people are talking about their experiences. I thought about the time of trial. By a stroke, and she said, "I've been a weaver all my life, and I just don't know
where it's good.
I've never run into this. How vulnerable we are each day. We say that this may well always be the same. Don't give us something we can't.
Christian science grandmother.
And I've been praying for her.
Mel.
After the service,
like the most common place thing.
We pray the Lord's Prayer while the pastor goes out here.
Oh, yeah, doesn't it? Yeah. Anything else that came up for you?
No.
So long as you stay in a relationship of faith.
I also think, too, as we forgive those who sin against us, I
I'm still
the person that I just couldn't trust there.
So I think it's a way of looking at your life.
Yeah, you told me where you were from.
Takes a long time to learn it. You hold the grudge for the world. It doesn't hurt the person that you hold the grudge against. They don't even know it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Chances are they don't know it anyway.
I was also struck by, you know, this is the prayer that Jesus tells us. I always go back to that. I mean, the disciples being with Jesus for so long,
they did not pray.
But as I was going down the mountain, there was much more than me.
You guys join us? I'm just going to leave this right here.
Oh, yeah.
Great. CD player to play it on.
Oh, good.
Wonderful. Yeah, whenever you're done, you can send those to the
Okay, great.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to bring us back together again, even though I know this is very rich material to talk about. Each one of us has a different experience, as you notice. You know, we were, in a sense, spiritual directors to one another. No person was about the other in what they were sharing, because it was the experience that you had hearing that word of God and that command of Jesus to pray this prayer. So anything that came up that you'd like to share from that experience, sharing with other people, that was the group would like to hear. That was new or profound or anything that you could put in a sentence?
Well, I'm new to the church. I'm only 20, and I've only been going to the church since I was 12. So I've kind of got a different... I didn't grow up saying that prayer. I don't know the origins, and I kind of am fuzzy on like the true meaning. But for me, it's something that we do so that we lift that prayer up to God, and He knows that we are truly there in that place at that time.
Mm.
And then when we say it so slow, I get questions. Mm-hmm. I question it, like, why do we say these words exactly, and why is it such a commonplace thing? Because I didn't have the background, and
right.
I didn't have the... I've been saying it since I was 2, so that's what I say, because it's what I've done.
Sure. Yeah. Again, hopefully it will bring questions to us who prayed it ever since we were little kids, too. So you're not alone. We all, saying it that slowly... there are questions that come up. And that's, again, also prayer. The questions that we have for God, that we struggle with, the why questions, if we take a long enough time, there wasn't a lot of time that you spent there, we'll have some questions. And if you spread this out to say, just if you said the Lord's Prayer daily like that, and you came to a spiritual director after a month of praying that prayer, imagine some of the things you could talk about. Not only the prayer, but the experience of your life and how that prayer affected you. And the director would listen and try to figure out, where was God in all of this? Where was God bringing you closer to a fuller, for the healing of you and your communities and the world, as we talk about Holden here. So that's again, hopefully these are getting, you know, you're getting a sharper focus about what spiritual direction is by this session. I hope you do. Any questions at this point? Okay, I'm going to move to my discipline, my practice that I do every day. I remember my Islamic friend at the home, and how passionately she would say, people need a practice. They need a practice. The world would be better with a practice. My practice includes, in the morning, reading some scripture and working from a devotional book. In the evening, it includes reading my journal from last year, this very day last year, and also writing a journal entry for today, looking back on my day. And sometimes I record conversations. Sometimes I record what I was most grateful for and least grateful for. Sometimes it's just a diary. I'm tired, but at least I remember the day. And a year ago, I also clearly remember the day because I'm a visual person. And I also, this is my journal book. About a page or half a page, sometimes a third of a page. And this is my drawing.
You say half a page or a third of a page?
Yeah, depending on how I feel. This is my sketchbook. And I do sketches of people that I know every night because people are the most precious in my life. I know that isn't true about everybody because other things become true. For them as they live out life. But people have always been very important to me. But as I get busy, I slight people too. And I get really sick of people. But every night I do a drawing of people that I know. This is my in-laws and my wife. You'll see her up here. Each one of these is a day. They're dated. And I do them in pastel, or actually, I do them in colored pencil right now, and I do them with a wash sometimes. This is a colored pencil with wash. I'll show you the difference. This guy's up here, Terry the plumber. But you can see it wrinkles the paper a little bit and gets a different little effect. Some kids playing games, board games, I think chess. And with people having a great time. So there's a little difference. And then I started this one, and I decided this is my journal one. And this is my real sketchbook here. And last night's was of me. Holding, and my daughter will be drawn next to me. This is at my installation at the home. There was one fellow who took lots of pictures of us and my friends at the home. So I like experimenting with color. I don't like a lot of detail. And once I'm done with that sketch, I go to sleep. I very seldom have trouble sleeping. Fall asleep pretty fast. But this is really a blessing of people, is what it is. Because I go back and I try. The challenge is to get them to look like the person and to catch the spirit of the person. And I've always thought that was a challenge. I've been doing this for 17 years now, every night for 17 years. So it's quite a practice. And the way I started it was because I was such a lousy, disciplined person that I knew if I didn't sketch, I didn't draw, I would not do it. I would put it on the shelf. And I see people as that way, when I talk with them. I know that it's really hard to start a discipline, whether it's prayer, whether it's doing anything daily, but I know the benefit for me, and it enriches my life, and it enriches the life that I have with the community that I'm with. I very seldom do stars or people that are unfamiliar to me. Very seldom do paper. You know, newspaper photos or anything. Usually the photos are taken by me, the people are people I know, or they can be animals. I love animals too, so. So that's my prayer.
You do a whole sketch every night?
I do a whole sketch every night, but sometimes it's just very sketchy, and sometimes it's a finished drawing. The tension there is between my wife and I, because I never go to bed when she goes to bed.
Yeah.
So there's a cost to it. And I think, too, the discipline of the cost of working with your own spirituality, with your spouse or with your significant other, your partner. Also, I'm going to have a couple of people read a dialogue to see what spiritual direction is all about. In other words, what does it look like when, if you had a little telescope and you came into the spiritual direction, what I'm doing here individually, I'll need a man and a woman to do it. If there's anybody who would like to read, that can read and be dramatic, the director has the least to say. The directee, who needs to be, I think, needs to be a woman.
I can if I can see it.
Yeah, I got it right here.
If it's big enough, I didn't bring my glasses.
Oh, okay. I wonder if it is. Let's see. We can turn on the lights here.
She's got some reading glasses, too.
Okay. Come on up here. And get a couple of chairs. A spiritual direction session usually involves... I know you do. Do you want me to be the director then? Maybe that's anybody like to be? The director could be male or female. Just a couple of words, questions. Be nice to involve you. Okay, all right. And by the way, this is a book that's in the bookstore. It's called Holy Invitations. And I recommend it because I think it's the best book describing the spiritual direction relationship and the questions that you might have. So it's available. You'll have to share the book, so you have to sit right next to each other.
So I've got a vacuum on my seat.
There you go.
Okay, so which
starting
part
right?
Of the reading?
Right here.
I read this part, she reads that part? Or what?
She reads the
that
whole
part.
Right.
Okay.
All right? Okay. Here we go.
I've been thinking lately about how my spiritual life seems to be affecting the people I live with, especially my spouse, and how his lack of interest in God affects me.
What's that like?
Well, in a word, hard. I feel like I'm trying to function in two competing worlds, trying to please both of them, and I'm not satisfied in either area. It feels like I'm always taking shortcuts and doing things differently than what seems right for me.
How is that influencing you?
I hate to say it, but I think I blame both of them.
Oh.
Both God and my husband.
What does that look like?
Well, I'm trying to love God and listen to God and cooperate with what I hear. I'm trying to love my husband and listen to him and cooperate with what I hear. That sums it up pretty clearly.
It seems like something's missing here.
What's that?
You. You sound very intentional about wanting to listen to and please both your husband and God. I don't hear you saying anything about how you pay attention to your own heart, about what might be right for you. I wonder what might happen if you'd step back from your involvement with God and with your husband and ask yourself what's important for you.
It's important for me to be loved and to have a sense of being loved by both God and my husband.
What makes you feel loved?
When I think God and my husband would like what I'm doing.
So you're saying that it's what you do or don't do that's important?
It does sound that way.
What have your prayers been like?
Not wonderful. I find myself reporting to God about what I've been doing and waiting for a pat on the head that doesn't seem to come. Is that the end?
I think that's the end for us, isn't it?
Okay. Why don't you read the next, there's a little paragraph, okay. And then there's another director.
Okay.
It would have been easy for the director to encourage would have been easy for the director to encourage the directee to analyze what might be going on in her relationship. But the director opened it to God in prayer, waiting to see what the Spirit of God invited.
The scripture that comes to me as I listen to you is Psalm 139, which we also had.
Which we also had today.
You could try spending time with that each day and notice if it seems helpful. Read slowly and pray whatever arises. You don't need to read the entire psalm. Read it as if you're talking to God. You might want to do some journaling. One of the purposes of inviting directees to Scripture is to draw them away from their self-centered focus, to allow the Spirit to move them to a different place of perspective, hopefully to a place where they are able to hear again who God really is and how God thinks and feels about them. It's easy to lose sight of God's love for us.
Is that all?
I think there's a little more.
Okay.
It sounds like I need to get myself back to square one. Reading scripture seems like a good idea. I have been going around in circles about this stuff, and sure could use help to slow down enough so I might see where I am and what I might like to do. I have been mostly arguing with myself about it.
Is there any particular place you're feeling the crunch?
I don't know that there is. I've been just feeling anxious about the whole thing. Sometimes my husband acts as if he's jealous of my spiritual life, which makes no sense to me. It's like I'm giving my attention to another human being. Well, maybe it is a little, because it is an intimate relationship, though in different ways than our marriage.
Do you notice any difference in your feelings towards your husband since you've been more intentionally making space for God?
In some ways, I don't need him in quite the way I did. I suppose he feels that and is aware that even though I want to please him, I'm not as obsessed with our relationship as I was. When I talk about it this way, I realize it's healthier now. Some of my unrealistic expectations have softened. He should be glad about that.
Are you saying there have been changes?
Oh, yes. Now that I'm talking about this more, I'm beginning to see why I've been feeling the pull between my relationship with God and my relationship with my husband. There is movement there. And I'm not entirely comfortable with the changes myself. As much as I dislike being so attached, it was familiar, and now I'm feeling unbalanced, like I don't know myself and my responses.
It sounds like you are getting into the conversation now.
It was unrealistic to think I could figure it out and the other way. I think I'm on the right track. My husband sure didn't get what he thought he was getting when he married me. But the changes in my life have been rather dramatic since I started spending more time with God. No wonder the poor guy is wondering what hit him. I suppose I will take some time to see where all this goes.
The faithfulness of God is at the core of spiritual direction. When we seek spiritual direction, we are utterly dependent on God and God's love reaching for us. Willingness to place our hope in God is also a necessary element. We long to experience God's presence in this shattered, exquisite world and need help to believe in our own ability to recognize God's voice. We need encouragement to trust God to be God, to trust the Holy Spirit in another person, and to trust God for a particular spiritual direction relationship. It is helpful to remember that all the initiative is not ours. in fact, any movement on our part toward God is an indicator that God has been seeking us.
Thank you so much. You did a wonderful job. That's great. Questions as you heard this dialogue that you have, or the ones that read it themselves? What happened, or actually, what happened in the dialogue?
Well, for one thing, the second person was just listening and trying to give some feedback, active listening as I know it, rather than putting her own words into it.
Right, right. It could be an issue that I could go to a spiritual director, and I do, I also have a spiritual director, could go to about that same issue, about staying up too late and doing a sketch, you know, and having that interfere with my own, her love for me, or her, you know, wanting me to be, you know, maybe moving it around or something like that. You know, that would be an issue that I'd want to talk about, and what does God really feel about that? And I debate that sometimes. You know, I don't know whether I should go another 17 years of trying. It's a question. So, what did you notice in the latter part of the dialogue about the directee?
That she was kind of talking it out herself, like she was figuring out things, how she felt and how maybe taking a stab at what her husband felt and that kind of thing.
She's kind of working it out herself, wasn't she? Or with God's help. And there was some transformation there. There's some movement, some difference in her quality of life with that struggle, amidst the struggle. Struggle was still there, but you know, she dealt with it differently through the awareness of Psalm 139, or she didn't even really say anything about the psalm, you know. Just didn't say, because I read this, and then I changed, and you know, it's not that kind of thing. There was a sense inside of her that was different. Gradual.
And that one relationship was affecting other relationships. Her relationship with God was affecting her relationship with her husband, and her relationship with her husband was also affecting her relationship with God.
Absolutely. Very systemic. And what you read at the last, you know, any movement towards God is an indication that God is probably seeking you. I love that.
Ooh.
I love that.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. So any desire that you have, your desire just to come here is to say, hey, God is nudging you a little bit. And I'm not the person that you'll be able to see, but wherever you have come from, and if you said you want to pursue this in some way, God will, you know, be with you in that pursuing of spiritual direction or a group of people that you would like to talk with about a particular area, but spiritual direction is very it's a very intimate relationship, because what you share with God, oftentimes you share with your spiritual director, the questions that you mentioned. So it's a very free and safe place to explore those questions. It's not a counseling session. That's what people really get stuck on. You know, well, this is counseling. Well, it's not. It's the spiritual director basically is the observer of God's working with another person. Observing, hearing, being sensitive to what's going on.
It's almost more of a spiritual facilitator than a spiritual
Absolutely.
Director.
Right.
Right.
Because God is directing. And sometimes the changes that God makes appears like God has left in one's life. In other words, one's changes in one's life are so devastating, it's like God has removed God's self from the situation. And the director is there to say, no, God's still there in all of this. And if God's still there in all of this, what's going on? And it goes back to the person. It's not like, get with it, God's with it, you know, so straighten up. You know, it's not like that kind of thing at all. If God is still there, and I believe that, because I'm a partner to you in this faith walk, then what is going on? Is there anything out of this that's redemptive? Again, Holden's theme, for the healing of the world. Christ, for the healing of the world. Since this is an intro session, again, I'm going to have another interactive thing here for you. And this is really quick. All I want you to do is to spend a couple of minutes in silence. And I want you to observe what happens in that silence. In other words, what is it in the silence that maybe you have trouble being silent? And I'm going to give you a little music during the silence. The silence will be about 2 minutes. And then I'm going to have you share in twos again about what you experienced in that silence. So part of experiencing God is to take the time to have silence. And the two sessions, other sessions I'm doing this week, will give you 30 minutes or a little bit more of silence to do with what you want to do. I have lots of resources and lots of ideas about how to use that, and it's called time out. But this will be a 2-minute time out, and I'll be interested to see where your mind goes in these 2 minutes, just of silence. And hopefully the music will help you to go into that silence.
Thank you.
Why don't we just stay in a big group if there's anybody who'd like to share anything that went on, feelings, nothingness.
My first thought was, oh, you're disturbing me with your music. Because I love silence. And I can just go inside myself and I don't think at all. I just breathe and God's just there within me. And I learned I had to do that with my fibromyalgia to relax. I just have to relax and be at peace and not think of anything. But I did that in spite of the music. Because I love music, and so that takes my focus away from that. But good. I did that in spite of the music.
Yeah, sure. Good. Thank you. Yeah, music can be an interruption to silence.
I immediately started to think of my family back home. My grandpa plays the guitar, and so I often would fall asleep or space out or whatever to my grandpa just fiddling around on a guitar. And so from the images of my grandfather, I got images of the hobby farm he runs and the 40 acres and back that I play in, and the space and the people that I've brought there and the experiences that I've had with that. The experiences that I've had just sitting there listening to notes waft over the valley from my grandpa playing up on the porch.
Any others?
Yeah, I was thinking of my wife that died 15 years ago this week. What a great person she was before she got sick, and even for a long time after she became ill. I was wishing that I treated her better than I did. So,
so God has brought all of these things to us through this time of silence, and one of the ways that was mentioned about not thinking about anything, being comfortable with the silence, is called contemplative prayer. And it's really a time where people sit for 20 minutes and they try to empty every thought and just to be with God. And the being with God is what heals. It's not a thing you can explain, but it is a practice. And it's not for everybody, but many people find it very helpful. So that also could be something that people would bring to a spiritual director in their contemplative prayer. What are the feelings? What has God been up to with you? Dealing with my fibromyalgia, you know, is it better? Is it, you know, what have you noticed in your body? There's nothing that isn't acceptable in a spiritual directions session. Nothing. So that's what's so wonderful about it. And I had never been ever listened to as well as when I went on a 9-month retreat in daily life, and my director was just incredibly sensitive and attuned to listening to me. I'd never experienced that. And after I got done with it, I said, why can't I offer that to other people? What a wonderful gift. So that's really one of the reasons. I don't think I could be where I am today without that in the nursing home, because they have very little affect. And it's really difficult. I'm running close to the end here. And I think I'm doing okay as far as questions. Do you have questions at this point, after I've gone through all that? What are your questions? I will have individual spiritual direction also, if you'd like to come up and talk in Chalet 12 It can be just a spiritual conversation. The other thing I didn't have time for today was to have you talk about your faith life in 4 minutes. This is one of the greatest experiences I've had. You could actually do this anytime in Holden Village, but 4 minutes, you know, try to condense how God has, you know, transported you to the age you are now and what has been significant in your life if you had to tell to another person. So that, I often ask people that when they come, you know, about their spiritual life and where they came from, what background, and where they are now. That's part of it. And I'm kind of a resource to people in that way. So, or sometimes it's specific issues and they want to come a couple of times, and that's fine with me too. And oftentimes I have suggestions for them, resources to go to, people to see where they came from too. Other questions? Did I confuse you? Was this helpful to see what spiritual direction is about? Or what questions you have, still might have? We have about, you know, 3 or 4 more minutes.
I was glad to hear you say that what I was doing was contemplative prayer, because I never considered it prayer when I wasn't focusing.
Oh, really? Yeah, it is. Definitely. And then I know in the bookstore that anything by Father Keating would be a place to, if you're interested in contemplative prayer and that type of prayer.
What's the last?
Father Keating.
Keating.
Keating. K-E-A-T-I-N-G. The other simple thing to do that I was going to bring up, and it's in this book called Sleeping with Bread, which is in the bookstore also. A simple little book about looking at your day and finding those things that gave you life and some of the things that really dragged you down. What you were most grateful for, what you were least grateful for. And lighting a candle and spending time with another person and exchanging those moments together about what is the best part of your day, what's the worst part of your day. A saint by the name of Ignatius once said that you can give up your prayer, but don't ever give up the examine. That's what the examine is, to look at your day and to really see where God is giving you life, because God intends for all of us wholeness. Wholeness is what, healing is what God intends for us. Most people, if their image of God is not a loving God, is that God intends for you to be guilty, suffer, whatever else. And I don't believe that. And once you pick up what gives you life, then you do more of that, and you find yourself in the midst of the community, and they're giving, it's a give and take. It's, you become the person that heals the community by your great gifts that God has given you. So this is a great book. Holy Invitations is another one. I showed you that one. Too Deep for Words is Lectio Divina. I believe this is in the bookstore. Too Deep for Words has scripture passages that you can read through very slowly and meditate on. The Exercises of Ignatius Loyola is there also somewhere, I think. I have one for women also. It's called the Exercises Reexamined or Refocused or something like that, up in my chalet if you'd like to borrow that. Ignatius thought that you needed some kind of practice to enrich your prayer life, and he wrote the exercises. And it would take another session to talk about them, but they're wonderful. And with that, Moment by Moment is the devotional booklet that I use that talks about the exercises and gives you questions and scripture references and many different ways of looking at a devotional life that's much more than reading a few paragraphs of, you know, how to improve your life. So I think that's it. I want to close with a song. And we can just do one verse of it. This is also to put in your minds the gift that God intends for us, healing. I don't have it on the board, but it's words are, let your spirits arise, God's love is sufficient. Let your spirits arise, God's grace is enough. Let your spirits arise, God's love is sufficient. Let your spirits arise, God's grace is enough. Let your spirits arise, God's love is sufficient. And the last line is, with God's arms around us, love fills our cup. With God's arms around us, love fills our cup. Let your spirits arise, God's love is sufficient. Let your spirits arise, God's grace is enough. Let your spirits arise, God's love is sufficient. With God's arms around us, love fills our cup. Thank you very much. I will be available on the kiosk. There's a sign up for individual sessions, and the time out, which is longer time for you to spend some time with God, are on tonight at 6 o'clock to 5:45 to just before Vespers, and tomorrow at 2 in the afternoon. So those are the times for those. So thanks for coming.
Thank you.